You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Many preachers will assuredly quickly admit that they are very oftentimes preaching to themselves, which is to say that if the preacher is preaching about the promises of God associated with not being afraid, well, then usually somewhere in that individual's life, they might very well be wrestling with some fear. I preached several weeks ago now on the fourth Sunday of Advent about the promises of the Messianic promise, and I received more than usual feedback about how that sermon connected with folks, specifically about the hope of anchoring our lives into the promises of God. I had said that the real question of faith isn't so much whether or not we believe in God, but whether or not we believe God. Those of you who know me know that I can at times get somewhat anxious about things. Often what usually gets me into trouble is my insistent desire for things to be done well, which really just means done how I think they should be done. And I can therefore at times get a little antsy if I have reason to believe that things are beginning to go off course, not always, but much of the time. And so with the dynamic of having just gone through another Christmas and New Year's marathon, and with the added frustration of not even making it 2 weeks now with some of my New Year's resolutions, I find myself once again drawn to preach on the promises of God, specifically today to reflect on the implications of trusting him such that we aren't afraid. From today's Old Testament lesson, thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you. And what a great promise that is for us to consider as we settle into this hopeful and joyful season after the Epiphany, and as we baptize these six children this morning and two more later today into the Christian faith and hope, celebrating the light and the life that comes to us through Jesus the Christ, the one baptized by John in the Jordan River, about whom the voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." What a great hope for us to consider today. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not, for I am with you. Because isn't fear just an everyday reality in our fallen world? And not just from things like unpredictable violence and natural disaster, which are, of course, very real. But there are also the fears that just stem from a kind of general uncertainty, which causes insecurity, like not knowing what the test results are going to be, or how things are going to play out with a significant employment opportunity. Seems as though most of us are either dealing with some kind of fear or we're dealing with a loved one who's dealing with some kind of fear. Of course, what frightens me may not frighten you. And as we get older, our fears often change. For example, I'm no longer afraid of the dark, but with daughters who got their mother's good looks, I find myself at times fearful of some unmarried men. Stand-up comedian Jerry Seinfeld once joked that he had read a poll that said that people were more afraid of public speaking than they were of dying. And he quipped that means that at a funeral, more people would rather be the guy in the box than the guy standing at the lectern. But whatever our fears, we are all naturally fearful. This is why when reading the Bible, we come across the command, fear not, more than 80 times. More than 80 times the Bible says, fear not, or some variation of it. Why? Because since the very beginning, people have always been naturally fearful and anxious. In fact, being afraid is the immediate consequence of Adam and Eve's disobedience. After they had eaten the forbidden fruit and realized that they were naked, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid." 12 chapters later, we read that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And what was the first thing God said to the great patriarch? Right at the very beginning of Israel's religious history, God said to Abram, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your great reward." And as the biblical narrative unfolds and we come to the birth of Jesus, what are the very first words the angel speaks to the shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night? "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And what we discover is that the Christ child would grow up and find it necessary to say things like, "Don't be anxious about your life, which you shall eat or drink, and which you shall put on. For which of you, by being anxious, can add a year, even a day, to the span of your life?" Simply put, the fall of Adam and Eve reveals to us that because of our rebellious disobedience, our relationships with God and with one another are distorted. And one of the clearest manifestations of this distortion is our natural inclination to be insecure and fearful. Now, as long as everything is going just the way we think it should, we can sometimes mask this or stay in denial about it pretty well. But what happens when the test does come back positive, or there is an unexpected change at work, or you do discover that a loved one has a drug addiction? Then what? When the curveballs of life come your way, is your first reaction to feel secure and confident in the promises of God, or is your life in some way conflicted with fear? Because as a pastor, I'm privileged to talk with many people about their fears. And I get to hear about the very real fears associated with whether or not someone's children or grandchildren will finally get good, sober, good this time and function independently and live a fruitful life. I hear about the fears associated with whether or not someone's mother or father will live to see another birthday. Fears associated with having purpose in retirement or cancer that has come out of remission. I talk to older people who are afraid to leave their house because they may fall and break more bones. And most everyone I talk with who is facing death or the death of a loved one is in some way wrestling with fear. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." There is nothing we can do to make God love us anymore, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us any less. But I wonder, How many of us remain unsure about this? How many of us still think, am I really okay? Does God really forgive me? Fear not, God has redeemed you. In the Old Testament, redemption is a legal term associated with the deliverance of some person or property to which one had a previous claim through family relation or possession. God has redeemed us. The gap that was created through disobedience has been bridged. There is nothing we can do to make God love us anymore, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us any less. And as far as all of those things in our lives that cause us uncertainty, things over which we ultimately have no control, all those things that naturally make us feel insecure and even fearful, fear not, for God is with us. Listen, he says, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What do you think? Do you connect with any of this today? Any fears in your life about some pending medical test results, or uncertainty at work, or the failing health of a loved one? Or maybe you secretly really do wonder if God's forgiveness is for real. Do you ever struggle with being uncertain or insecure or fearful? And what might your life look like with increased courage and confidence in the promises of God? Because God has secured our salvation, we don't ever have to worry about getting good enough for God to accept us. And because God has promised to be with us, we don't ever have to worry about being or feeling alone. And if we could just remember that, if we could just remember this important promise from God our Savior, then we would have nothing to fear in life, and we would ultimately have nothing to fear in death. Remaining seated, please close with me in this prayer. Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to fear nothing but the loss of you and to cast all our care on you who care for us, preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal and which you have revealed to us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.